Amen. Let us pray. Now, Father, we ask and receive wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of your Son, Jesus. We pray and ask and receive. Grant to us clarity in our thoughts. Our eyes behold Jesus Christ, your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. This morning, I will run off temporarily. The teaching on the law, or understanding the law and the prophets. I might pick it up again this year or next year or the year after, but be rest assured I'm coming back there again. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 25. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, he has two words he uses here. We've seen it, anoitos, which means that your mind is not working properly. That's the word fools. You know, someone who cannot grab things easily, or whose mind, you know, alternates. Second word he uses is slow of heart. The word bradus. Now you have fool, you have foolish. Foolish, you will have that in Galatians 3:1, oh foolish Galatians. And whenever those words were used, they were used in relative to the wisdom of God, the word of God. Now, he used the word bradus, slow of heart, same word James 1:19, be slow to speak, slow to wrath, in verse 20, slow. Why did he say that? Now, there was something happened. He had his own disciples, two of them, statistically wise, who were having a conversation. And there was a conversation that he got involved in verse 15. Let's stay together. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself, someone say himself, all right, they were talking about Jesus, and himself came and drew near and went with them. But their eyes weren't holding that they would not know him. Okay? And that wasn't really important. Now, as he got close to them, he engaged them. Then he asked the question in 17. What manner of communication are this that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? What manner of communication? Now, Jesus oftentimes will ask questions because knowledge oftentimes or many times knowledge is gotten, inspired, or received by questions. He asks them questions. Matthew's Gospel 16:13. He says, who do men say that I am? If you're a Bible teacher or you teach people, learn to ask them questions. Alright? Who do men say that I am? And then they say, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say that you, some say you're Elijah. Some say Jeremiah. Some say John the Baptist. Others say one of the prophets. Then he asks the question. Who do you say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. Then Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he asks those kind of questions. Bible study is oftentimes built in questions. Many of Paul's letters were written because they asked questions. Are you following what I'm saying? So he says, what manner of communications, are this going on? Now write this, that's important. Our beliefs are rooted in our conversations. What was about part of our conversations? Now, you could come to church and, you know, do all dandy and look all good and leave the service. But really, your day-to-day conversations actually reveal your beliefs. The kind of conversations you have in your office, the ones you have in your home, the ones you have with your friends, the ones you have offline or online, or you're chatting with someone on BlackBerry or social media. Those are the things that really reveal what you believe. So it wasn't, these are folks who attend his meetings and nodded their heads. Oh, come on, that's a good word and all that. But he said, he got them conversing. And in that conversation, you could lay your hands on their belief system. So he says, what manner of conversation? That word conversation, there's not the usual word. When it says, be an example of the believer in conversation. 1 Timothy 4:12. That's conduct. This one is not conduct. It's the word logos or logoin. It means thoughts. It means thoughts, ideas, all right? ideas that are verbalized. So they were sharing their ideas. They were talking about what just happened in 3 days in their conversation. Anytime something happens in Nigeria, or something happens on the road, or something happens somewhere, and then the kind of conversations we engage in actually reveal what we truly believe. You understand what I'm saying? You have some folks, remember a dear sister, she was in the church I pastored about years ago, and something happened, and then she sat down, and I went to her room. She was a student of University College Hospital, that's UI, so I went to check on her. But as I was approaching her room, I discovered that she was having a discussion with some folks. And he was saying, well, God knows, we don't know. But that's really not a bad statement. You know, there are things God knows you don't know. That's why you're in service. Praise God. But he wants you to know. All right. So then she went on and said, well, I can't explain. There's some things we can't explain. It's beyond our knowledge. It's God sovereign. So I knew in that conversation that that's actually the kind of things that I engage in our mind. So I said, you know, sister, sit down. And then I began to ask her questions. And then she began to answer me back. And I found out that, well, really, she might have been going to a church where the word of God is taught, but somehow, really, she didn't spend enough time with it to really let that influence how she was thinking. Okay? So in people's conversation, now, these are folks that they walk with Jesus. And he says, what manner of conversation are you guys exchanging? One to another. The word one to another there is the word antiballo. Antiballo, A-N-T-I-B-A-L-L-O. It means to exchange. It's like a debate. Right? It's like a debate. They were debating. They were asking questions. This one was saying his own. Have you ever seen those kind of things? How many of you have those kind of WhatsApp chat groups? And then you begin to talk to people and say, this one was saying his own. I withdrew from that some 6 years ago, 5 years, I think. And I think it was because I felt that really, no matter what you say, people's church determines what they eventually believe. So they can scream all they like on that chat group, but you see, it's where they go on Sundays, Wednesdays, Tuesdays that show exactly what's in their heart. You know, anybody say, I used to find some strange, you know, depositions and revelations from the minds of people. And so he says, what are you exchanging? And so as they were exchanging those thoughts, you know, he knew what he was going to teach. So as they were saying those things and debating, Jesus knew what he was going to teach. Now, pay attention, because I want to say a few things about Bible study. You see, when it comes to Bible study or study of the Bible, listen very carefully. The company that you keep is very important. The company that you keep is very important. And I'm saying the local church that you attend is very, very important. There's a limit to personal Bible study. In fact, listen carefully. Personal Bible study is not primary in the epistles. It's not. Personal Bible study is not primary in the epistles. If Bible study was the way God wanted us to know His Word, He would not put teachers in the body of Christ. He put teachers in the body of Christ. In fact, a primary responsibility of the pastor is to teach. A personal Bible study was primary in Scripture. The epistles would not be written, because all the epistles were written from the Old Testament books. A personal Bible study was, you know, primary. It's not primary. Personal Bible study is to complement being taught the Word. It should complement being taught the Word. Personal Bible study is to complement being taught the Word. Pay attention. So, the local church, look at Acts 11. Local church is so vital. The kind of place you attend, where you go to. Acts 11, you in church? Are you in church? Acts 11. I'll read to you verse 23 and 24. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, and was glad, and observed them all. Acts 11, 23. That with the purpose of heart, they will cleave unto the Lord. for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people were hired to the Lord. And notice something. Verse 24. Much people were hired. Much. A lot of people got saved. Okay? Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. So he went to bring someone who will teach. He went to Tarsus to bring Saul. Okay? Now, he brought Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that the whole year. How long? Verse 26. Let's take it together. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year. How long? How long? He assembled himself with the church and taught what? Now, how many got saved in verse 23? And verse 24? Much people. How many were taught in 26? Much people. And disciples were false called Christians. So, they taught much people. Much people. So, he went to bring Paul because he knew Paul had the grace to teach. Not everybody has the grace to teach. In that capacity, every believer should teach. Okay? But there's some having the grace to teach. Look at Acts 2:42. People go say, Acts 2:42. Look at Acts 2:42. They continued. How? Acts 2:42. They continued how? In the apostles' teaching. First thing. Teaching. Those who are those who continued? The previous verse. The previous verse, 3,000 were saved the same day. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Okay, teaching. So there was teaching going on. How? Where did it go on? Did it go on in their heads? No. It went on in the meetings. Teaching. Look at Acts 20:20. I kept back nothing that was, Acts 20:20. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Nothing that was profitable unto you. Nothing. I like the word kept back. Here's the word hupostello. H-U-P-O-S-T-E-L-O. It means I did not withdraw anything that was profitable unto you. The same word he used in 27. Acts 20:27. That means he gave all. He gave all in information. Galatians 2:12. Same word. Withdraw. Hebrews 10:38. We don't draw back. Kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Remember years back, I had the privilege to teach in a Bible school. I think it was 95. I used to be a visiting lecturer there, but I used to teach as well regularly. But I was a visiting lecturer. So I taught a series. And I think it was 3 Saturdays or so. Then the second Saturday, the dean of students affairs or something, he now asked me, he said, but these things you're teaching, I hope you will not teach it in the church. I said, why? He said, because these kind of things are not for any other person but ministers. So I asked him a question. Is there any place in the Bible called thou shalt not read? He said, no. So what are you talking about? He said, because if you teach people these kind of things, they will be rude to the apostles. They will think they know the same thing. I said, well, that means the pastor himself should study. Praise God. But that wasn't the point. The point is, he said, I kept back nothing that was profitable, useful for you. That's teaching. This is a pastor. There's a job of a pastor in a local church. It's to give us information, to teach. So it's important that Bible study becomes effective when you are in the right local church. It becomes effective. It becomes effective. There is no scripture for personal Bible study. And there's no scripture against it. You follow me? There's no scripture for personal Bible study. And there's no scripture for being against it. Oftentimes, what people call about the Berean Christians, it's just something that doesn't make sense because they were not Christians when Paul came to them. They went to search where those things were. So, Acts 17:11 was when they searched and found it that it now became Christians. In verse 12. You listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? So, the first thing in Bible study is have the right company. Have the right place. Second thing, Well, this looks like a given, but I think I need to say, have a Bible. You'd be shocked some folks came to this service without a Bible. I'm thinking, what was going on in your mind? Were you kidnapped and dropped here? How would you leave your home for a church service without a Bible? And you're not a Muslim? Oh, it doesn't make any sense. That means you're not serious about what you're going there to do. You go with your Bible. Now, I'm not against putting your Bible in your phones or in your ring. But the point is, whatever you want to use as a study material for your spiritual growth should be so important to you. Not wrong to have a device. But that device must be the device for Bible study. It can't be the same place where you have movies and all sort of things. Hallelujah. That's why I've gone quiet. It's fine. Have a Bible. Number three, looks funny too. Read it. You know, some guys don't read the Bible except on three occasions. Okay, maybe four. One, when they're getting married. Two, Sunday morning. Three, when there's a problem. And four, when I just said it. You know, you gotta read it. Reading is so important that the word read is used 32 times. Read in New Testament Greek. And then of the 32 times, 15 are in the four Gospels. 15. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 4. Luke's Gospel 4, verse 16. Luke's Gospel 4, 16. It came to pass where he had been brought up to, it came to the Nazareth, sorry, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on Sabbath day and stood up for to read 15 times. And Jesus often asked that question, have you not read? You see it? Matthew 12:3. Have you not read? Have you not read? Some guys will say, just tell us what's there. No, you got to read it. Have you not read what David did? Verse 5, Matthew 12. Have you not read in the law? Matthew's Gospel chapter 12 verse 3 and 5. Matthew's Gospel 19 and verse 4. Have you not read? Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 19 verse 4. Have you not read that he which had made them at the beginning made them male and female? Have you not read? It's a vital question. Have you not read it? That means you have to read it. Matthew's Gospel 21 verse 16. If this is funny. Yea, have you never read? Have you never read? How the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou art perfected praise. Have you not read it? Matthew's Gospel 21:42. Don't your neighbor say, have you not read? No, don't talk to yourself. Talk to someone besides you. Have you not read? Aha. Uh-huh. Matthew's Gospel 21:42. Did you never read? In the scriptures. Matthew's Gospel 22:31. Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God? Mark's Gospel 2:25. Mark's Gospel 2:25. Have you not read what David did? It's a question he asked several times. That means you have a duty to do what? To read. The word read there is not to glance. We're going to see it in a moment. You have a duty to read. And today we have technology has advanced information so much that you can have this written. Here, the printing press was not in the world, was not existing at this day. Things were handwritten. Not with pen. That is, there was no printing press in this day. Yet people found time to handwrite those things out, manually write them out, and then to now read them. And yet, spiritual growth was possible. You there? Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. The word read. Acts 8. Verse 28. This was an Enoch. who was returning, sitting on his chariot, reared Isaiah the prophet. Verse 30 and verse 32 times. Philip ran either to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what you read. But see, the first thing is at least he read it. Verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. Acts 13:27. Acts 13:27. Neither yet the voice of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. Read every Sabbath day. Acts 15:21. For most of old time in every city, them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Acts 15:31. Okay, that's about reading the letters. So, you'll find out the word read is used deliberately and consistently. 2 Corinthians 1:13. 2 Corinthians 1:13. It's Paul. For we write none other things unto you than that which you read, or you read, or acknowledge. And I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end. So he knew they were reading. Ephesians 3:4. Ephesians 3:4. I've said it to you before. Paul says in verse 3. How that by revelation it made known unto me that mystery as I wrote afore in few words. Let's read verse 4 together, Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go. Whereby, when you read, when you what? Read. You may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. How do you understand? You first of all what? Read. Colossians 4:16. Let's read that one together. Colossians 4:16. Can we go? Colossians 4:16. Let's go. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it also be read in the church of Laodicea. And you likewise read the epistles from the Laodicea. That means what I wrote them, you read. What I wrote you, you read. They read. You have to read it. 1 Thessalonians 5:27. 1 Thessalonians 5:27. I charge you by the word. Let's take it together. Let's go. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the brethren. Holy brethren. Unto all. All. Revelation 1:3, same thing, read. The word read is the word anaginosko. Anaginosko has two words. Ginosko, which you know means to know, appreciate. And the word ana, which is a preposition. Preposition, ana, A-N-A. Anaginosko, A-N-A-G-I-N-O-S-K-O. Means two words. Preposition ana, then ginosko. It means thorough, through, in between or among. So what he's saying is that you will read very well to appreciate it. You won't glance. It's not a glance reading. A glance reading. You know, like the stuff written here, you just say, well, you can just say, well, now showing on Omega Gospel TV, Saturday, GMT, plus 200 hours and all. You read that. Just glance and take your eyes off. Mm-mm. And the ginosko is the Omega Gospel TV Saturdays. They begin to think. Is it cable? Is it local station? That means you are what? You are reading. When you are reading, you are taking cognizance of the details. Not a glance. Not the kind of stuff you say, Jesus wept. Where is it? Where he wept. You must. No, some folks, as simple as this scripture is, they can't quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever believes will not perish, will have life. That's simple. How many words are in that sentence? That's become a marathon race for you. You have to take note of the details. Go back to Luke's Gospel 4. So we said number one. What's number one? Be in the good company. Number two, have a Bible. Ask your neighbor, do you have a Bible? Ask your neighbor, do you have a Bible? Say, is it your own? You have this is to commemorate the wedding between so-so and so. What a shame. Three. Read it. You have to read it. Now look at this. The fourth thing, go back to Luke 4. That's where we started from. Luke's Gospel 4. The fourth thing he did, that's Jesus. Fourth thing he did. when he had opened the book. That's funny, really? You have to read it. You have to open it. Well, that should have come before reading anyway. But you have to open it. To open, he opened it, which is in those days it was a roll. You know, it's not like a book like this. It was like a roll. So you have to unroll it. That's what he did. The word anapetuso, it means to unroll it. It's a roll, so he unrolled it. Now, what did he do after? And he found, which is the word heurisko, H-E-U-R-I-S-K-O. He discovered where it was written. So, he didn't stumble on a verse. Somebody just said, oh, any verse I open to, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. Something is wrong with you. He found the place. You must deliberately look for 1 Corinthians. Look for 2 Corinthians. Look for Ephesians. Deliberately go to the place. So this morning, good morning, Jesus. Good morning. I know you come from heaven. Heaven above, the Holy Spirit sits on the chair. So when you're through with that, you just open the book. Then you just read, it is finished. But I thank you for not allowing me to study my Bible today. It is finished. Have you? They're not serious. That's why I told you earlier that trust in the Lord, a couple of years to come, we'll have our own Bible translation that will have no chapters and no verses. I'll say it one more time. No chapters and no verses. So it's either you're going to read it or you're not going to read it at all. Hallelujah. Thank you. So, the last one is meditate. No, second to last one. Meditate. When you have discovered it, then you now meditate. You think upon it. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear. The word meditate is the word meletao. Meletao. M-E-L-E. M-E-L-E-T-A-O. Meletao. It's from the word melit. M-E-L-E-T-E. Melit means to care about something. To care about something. You see the synonym of that word in Acts 4:25. Why did the heathen imagine vain things? The rulers imagine rage, and the earthen rage. While the rulers imagine vain things. So you have imagination, which is to diligently view a matter. There's a mental picture you have. That means in Bible study, your mind is active. Are you still there? Are you there? Your mind is what? Active. Not passive. Bible study is an engagement of your thinking. Because the essence of Bible study is to change the way you think. You meditate. Then the last one, you ask questions. You ask questions. You must have questions. And that's the essence of you having a church pastor. You ask questions. Because you have questions. You ask questions. So I'll take it one more time. The first one, have company. Secondly, have a Bible. Thirdly, read it. We should actually put open it. Then read it. Alright, open it, read it. Then open and read it, then meditate. Okay? Meditate, then ask questions. Praise God. Are you there? Are you still there? Praise God. You must. You can't just treat the Bible. And I tell people, if many of us treated our school books or career materials the way we treat the Bible, will be abysmal failures in life. I mean, you'll be a failure going somewhere to happen. Now, let me not bring it. That's why, also, if you're a Christian and you treat the Bible that way, you won't be a failure going somewhere to happen. You're already an existing failure, already failing. Because Christianity is built only on what is written. Not on your experience, not on what an angel would tell someone, not on anything, but what is it? See that there? Very, very good. So, you read. Now, you know, we're studying the prophets. So go back to Luke 24. Luke 24. And you know, today we have access to having things recorded for us. We have it written. We have it written again. We have it recorded. So we have all men blessed. Actually, something else, I want to say something else, but I changed my words. O fools, the slow of heart, 25, Luke's Gospel 24, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So the prophets were men. And in our study so far, we have found out that the prophets were men who had very less light. Or lesser light. Are we right on that? Huh? Are we right on that? Come on, talk to me. Are we? We have dimmed, or we can call it dimmed light. Go to Matthew's Gospel 13, 17, Luke's Gospel 10, 20, 21, 22. Matthew 13, 17, but let's go to Luke's Gospel 10, 20 and 22. No, 21 first. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seems so good in your sight. Luke's Gospel 10, 21. Then Luke's Gospel 10, 24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Now, let me quickly treat a small matter, and I think I don't talk about it. Is the terminology the presence of the Lord? The presence of the Lord. I just want to go over that. I don't know how many minutes we have on that, but I think I'm going to talk about it a lot of times. I will talk about it a lot of times. Okay, Luke's Gospel. We shed in his side. Okay, quickly. The word presence of the Lord has different meanings. For example, if you read the Bible, you will discover they have different meanings. You might not know if you just glance through. But when you read through, you will know it has different meanings. It's just the word love. You know, I kind of feel funny that the Bible says love not the world. Then it says, for God so loved the world. I thought that was contradictory. Praise God. But you see, I thought it was contradictory because I had not read. So you have to read. So look at the word, the presence of the Lord. The first time you'll see that word is in Genesis 3:8. Genesis 3:8. And I'm not going to focus on that. It's the word Panim. P-A-N-I-Y-M. Genesis 3:8. Genesis 3:8, and then you quickly look at Genesis 4:16. 3:8 and 4:16. 3:8. We hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Then Genesis 4, verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, the way you will read this thing will appear like you think there's a place you can't find God, that we hid ourselves from the presence of the Lord. Or he moved from the presence of the Lord. Now, if you observe in the two places where we just read it, Genesis 3:8 was talking about the voice of the Lord. The second one too, the same thing. So, from those texts, the presence of the Lord appeared to be his word. Or what he said to them. Okay? Or we can call his revelation. Okay, so the word presence of the Lord doesn't mean God is there or he's not there. That's not what it means. Are you following? Are you following this? Alright, so that is in that context. Now, we'll see other contexts where the word presence of the Lord is used. For example, look at Acts 3:19. In the Hebrew, you have it 77 times, but I'm not going to focus on that. No, not in the Hebrew, not in the Hebrew. In the Greek word, the Greek has it 77 times. Presence of the Lord, Acts 3:19. I hope I'm very correct. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. The word here is prospon. P-R-O. Now pay very good attention to detail here. P-R-O-S-P-O-N. The presence of the Lord. postpone. Then you have another place. Something different. 1 Corinthians 1:29. Postpone means face. 1 Corinthians 1:29. No flesh should glory in his presence. That would be funny because people glory all over the world. So how would you say no flesh should glory in his presence? People glory all over the world. Doesn't mean his presence, he's not there with the glory. Come on, are you following what I'm saying? Okay, good. So the word here is another word entirely. Is the word enopios. E-N-O-P-I-O-S. It's used for eyes. Because the word, listen carefully, E-N is eyes. In his eyes. Eyes. No flesh of glory in his eyes. Now pay attention now. It's used for those who watch over. For example, I am here, alright, and you are here. But then I am watching over this seat. Doesn't mean I am not here. You can see me, but you are not in my sight. You follow that? You get that? I'll go over that again. I'm here right now, but my eyes, or I'm watching over this seat. We have many people here. Okay, just like this fellow is watching over this. That's why you're here. You get my point. If you all lift your hands and worship God, he's worshiping this, I think. All right, so he's watching over this. He's here, but he's here for here. So this is his sight. You get this? Do you understand? This is his sight. Do you understand that? Something he's watching over. Or something under his watch. You get that? Alright. That's the word enopios. You find that word in Luke's Gospel 1:15. Luke 1:15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Now, he doesn't have to be great before men. But he shall be great in whose sight? In the sight of the Lord. Enopios. Luke's Gospel 15:10. I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Acts 4:10. In their watch. Acts 4:10. Watch this. Be it known unto you all people by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, that this man stand here before you all. He stands here before you all. That is, you can all look at him. You are all looking at him. What he said that was everybody in that place was looking at that guy. So you can see this fellow. He stands before you all. Enopios. You have another word. Postpone is used. Don't forget, postpone is what? Face. Face. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Pay attention. The first time we read presence, remember, we read presence for the word, for his revelation. Genesis 3:18, remember? And Genesis 4:16. Now look at this one. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. I'll start from 8. Talking about those who will be destroyed because of disobedience to the gospel. Flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word. Which shall be banished with everlasting destruction. Remember the word? Away from the prospawn of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Okay, that means the glory of his power is his presence. And they are banished away from. Someone say away from. Away from it. That means it's away from his gospel. They are away from it. Okay, so he uses the word face. So again, this is used for judgment. Remember, times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. That's what we read. Now, there cannot be judgment in the presence of the Lord, and you have times of oppression. So, judgment will be what? Away from the presence of the Lord. Is that clear? Is that okay? Very good. So, Hebrews 9:24. Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. In the presence of God for us. So, he appears in the presence of God for us. The face. Jude 24. Now unto him, you hear the word, now unto him, Jude 24, that is able to keep you from falling, Jude 24, to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, it's a different word. You'll find the same word using Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we shall be holy and blameless before him in love. Before him. Before him. Ephesians 1:4. Colossians 1:22. All right, good. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and irreprovable in his sight. In his sight. You know, we had read one in his sight, and no spoils, which is his watch. This one is different. This one is the word kata enopios. You know, we had enopios initially. So it's a kata enopios, which is absolute knowledge. Absolute knowledge. That is, when you see something totally, which deals with an infinite knowledge. That is, I look at you yesterday, I look at you today, I look at you tomorrow, and this is how you are. So it says, in God's absolute knowledge, what are we? Huh? Irreprovable. Blameless in his absolute knowledge. You understand that? You understand that? That is, he sees us today, he sees us tomorrow, how? Irreprovable and blameless. So that is, it's a knowledge thing. God takes knowledge of this about you and I, that today and tomorrow we are irreprovable and blameless in his sight. You understand? That's why Jude 24 makes it futuristic. You understand that? Ephesians 1:4 makes it today and tomorrow. Colossians 1:22 makes it today and tomorrow. Jude 24 says he will present you. But if I were to reconstruct that, which I can't do in this service, I will let you see that the present tense continues. That is, Jesus keeps presenting us irreprovable and blameless. Is that clear? In the absolute knowledge of God. That is, the word sight here is absolute knowledge. Enopios. Absolute knowledge. In his absolute watch. In his sight. Look at the word in his sight. We're going to run through that quickly. Matthew 11:26. Matthew 11:26. The four gospels. Matthew 11:26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. What's he talking about? 25. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. Watch this now. Pay attention. It's the same word in Luke 10:21. It seemed good in thy sight. It's one key word. Very different one. They're not a different word entirely. Very different word. Empro, stand. I'll spell it for you. E-M-P-R-O-S-T-H-E-N. E-M-P-R-O-S-T-H-E-N. Now, in literal terms, it means something in front of. Let your light so shine before men. In literal terms. Let your light so shine before men. You see it in Matthew 5, 16, Matthew 6, 1 and 2. Matthew 5, 16, Matthew 6, 1 and 2. Now pay attention. This word in earlier application refers to something that is of a higher rank. Of a higher rank. Now, so it makes sense, okay, before, watch this now, in your sight, all right, something you rank, something that you place above others will be the word, emprostan. So let's take it like, wait, it says, it seems so good in how you value above. So it makes sense. Verse 25. You hid from the wise and the prudent. You revealed them unto babes. Now when you find Jesus talking about babes, he's talking about faith. Those who believe. Except you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom. That is to believe. That makes your faith like that of a little child. So he's saying to us that when a man believes, God ranks him above wisdom and prudence. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? That's the word in his sight. You know, we said, the presence of the Lord doesn't mean that he's here and he's not there. It must be specific. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying. Are you following what I'm saying here? You must be very specific. So, here he's saying, he ranks the babes above the wise and the prudent. That's the word in his sight. So, we can say, in your ranking. Is that clear? Is that very clear? Okay, in your ranking. Same word. Luke 16:15. Luke 16:15. Run through all this. That you justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abominable in the sight of God. In the estimation of God. You understand that? In the way he esteems things. So the word sight doesn't mean to look at things. It actually means to how you view things. Not just looking at something like this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that clear now? How you view things. The way he views things. Luke's Gospel 1:15, same thing. So, when you look at the sight of God, we're not talking about just God opening his eyes to see things as though he doesn't see all the time. We're saying the way he views things. One more time. Acts 4:19. Acts 4:19. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. In the sight of God. In how God sees things. Acts 8:21. That your heart is not right in the sight of God. Your heart is not right. Peter rebuking Simon the sorcerer. In the sight of God. Okay? So Acts 10:31. So, the ones I'm reading now. When you see the sight of God, he's talking about estimation. Estimation. Acts 10:31. Thine arms and thy remembrance are had in remembrance in the sight of God. In the sight of God. And prostan, same word. 2 Corinthians, Romans 12:17. Romans 12:17. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. The estimation of man. not just for them to see, but it's talking about a viewpoint. Romans 12:17. 2 Corinthians 4:2. 2 Corinthians 4:2. Not handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the estimation of God, in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians 7:12. What I care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. So, that word sight of God is something we all know. Praise God. It's not presence of God, like a physical presence. It's talking about something we all know. Something we all know. You discover that the sight of God there reveals, talks about the revealed scriptures. Are you following what I'm saying here? Do you understand what I'm saying? So when I say the sight of God here, we're referring to what? The revealed scriptures. 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8:21. You learning something? 2 Corinthians 8:21. Providing, look at this. Providing for honest things, not only of the Lord, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. Not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. The viewpoint. 1 Timothy 2:3. 1 Timothy 2:3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. The sight of God our Savior. How do we know the sight of God our Savior? By the written word. 1 Timothy 6:13. I charge thee in the sight of God, who quickened all things, before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. The written word. See, that one's very clear. Hebrews 13:21. Hebrews 13:21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Did you notice that a couple of times when we read the sight of the Lord, it talks about Jesus? Have you noticed that? Huh? Have you noticed that? That's what I'm about to read the word. Okay? The written word. Again, James 4:10. Very different rendition there. James 4:10. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. It's not that. Humble yourselves when you come to church. Praise God. Hallelujah. You get it? And he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 3:4. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God, of good price. In the sight of God. Of great price. 1 John 3:22. 1 John 3:22. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we shall ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So, can we safely say the word in his sight here, emprostand, refers to the scriptures? Huh? Who can see that? Come on, who can see that? Nobody. You can see that. Who can see that? In the sight of God. The ones we've read so far will be what? In the scriptures. You have revealed them unto babes. It is pleasing in the scriptures. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay, good. Now, the second one, another one we'll see, which I showed you earlier. Notice the word here is emprostand. Okay? Which is of something you esteem, something you rank. That's literal meaning. Something you esteem or rank. But then by the application we have read so far, to be what? The written word. The written word. For example, Jesus was tempted. He said, turn the stone to bread. And he says, for it is written. Now, what did Jesus do? Jesus did that which was pleasing. Do you understand? In his sight. So, in his sight will be in his viewpoint. what will be his viewpoint? The written word. Let me see if that's clear to you. Is that clear? The written word will be his sight. Now, don't forget that is different from irreprovable in his sight, which is a stronger word. It means in his knowledge, all his knowledge of you. That is, all his knowledge of you says you are irreprovable. We'll come to that in a moment. Now, look at Romans 3:20. Interestingly, I didn't go to that. Romans 3:20. In his knowledge. Romans 3:20. I'll skip that one. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin in his sight. So quickly, let's see other ones. Galatians 3:11. Galatians 3:11. About the law. Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. That the just shall live by faith. The word here is para. P-E-R-A. Right? P-E-R-A. It means alongside. By. By of God. Very funny. Difficult translation. By is the word used for by. Alongside. Something you go by. Very difficult. Colossians 1:22. Colossians 1:22. Okay. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and irreprovable in his sight. Colossians 1:22. Okay, we read that earlier. That's Enopios. I think we've done that. Ephesians 1:4. Okay. Jude 24. Which is in his absolute knowledge. In his absolute knowledge. So we have three words or four. That's prospon, face, prospon. Alright. Then we have enopios, under his watch. Something he watches over. Then we have kata enopios or kata nopion. It's the same thing. It means in his absolute knowledge. That can only be given to God. Something he sees absolutely. You and I cannot see absolutely. But he has absolute knowledge. So in his absolute knowledge, he says we are holy and unblamed. It is absolute knowledge. So let's quickly look at this. It appears that the word sight or presence of the Lord is used for knowledge. That's what I'm going to. Come on. Is that correct? Is that correct? Is that correct? It's used consistently for knowledge. Knowledge. What you know or what you esteem. So, the third one we saw is emprostan, in front of, literally, higher rank. And then in application, it's talking about the revealed scriptures. We also have enopios, which I mentioned earlier. Okay, before knowledge. Then we have, so, in Bible study, and why do I go to all that? Because in Bible study, you really need to make distinctions. Else, you mix it up. You know, people can say things like, we're in the presence of God. The word presence of God is not the same thing as, oh, he is present here. I think that's clear now. It's not the same thing. It has a very specific application. Amen. Are we together? It's a specific application. No man is justified in the sight of the Lord. That no flesh shall glory in his estimation. In his watch. What he watches over. No flesh shall glory. Now, as God, does he see everything? Huh? Does he see everything? He does. Has God, does he esteem everything? No. He esteems what is done in his Son. That is his sight. Do you understand that? Is it clear? Does he see everything as God? Is he everywhere? Yes. Is he in all things? No. His sight is in what is in his Son. So it's obvious that the word in his sight will be focused on the revelation of Jesus. Is that clear? That's why Adam and Eve hid from the presence of the Lord. That is the voice. Cain went away from the presence of the Lord. That's what? His voice. What God said. So if they hid from the presence of the Lord in Moses' vision, it means they moved away from what God said. That's what sin is in separation. So when you hear presence of the Lord, just like he says that the rapture, what we call the rapture, the second coming, or whatever we terminology use, the judgment is that the person who will be destroyed will be banished away from God's word, from the gospel of the power of God. That's what's going to happen. So when you hear presence of the Lord, what's that song? Presence of the Lord is in the, I can see his power over me. It's fine. But you see, the truth is, it's used differently. Praise God. Come on. I think I've achieved that. So let's move forward. So go back to Luke 10, which is where I came from. I said that to say this, that when you have your Bible, you read it. That's all. That's why I said all that. That was a blessing, wasn't it? Huh? I have a timeline. Was it a blessing? Was it a blessing? If you can't remember it, when the tapes are out, go and get it again. Alright? Luke 10:21. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. And you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in your sight. So, he says, things are hidden in his sight. Hallelujah. Now, what's his sight again? Estimation. Now, is it God who made some babes and some wise and prudent? It's a figure of speech. Those who think they know and those who want to know. So, when it comes to the sight of God, those who don't, who say they don't know, will know. Those who say they know, will not know. Do you understand that? So, that word hid is relative. God did not blind them not to see. No. We're going to see that soon. So, look at this. The Old Testament books are called mysteries. Mysteries. That's what they are called. Mysteries. It's used 28 times, and they are relative terminologies. 28 times New Testament Greek. Matthew's Gospel 13:11. The parable of the sower. From there. Matthew's Gospel 13 and then verse 11. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. Now, you will assume that what he's saying is that God hides things. No. Just pay attention and don't be in a hurry. So, it is given. The same thing you find in Mark 4:11 and Luke 8:10. The mysteries. Mysteries. Which is the word musterion. M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. Now look at Romans 11:25. The word mysterion. Romans 11:25. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Okay? Then Romans 16, yeah, I think. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. The mystery. Okay? Now, quickly, 1 Corinthians 2:1. When I came unto you, not with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the mystery of God. The word testimony there is mysterion. The mystery of God. Then verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Okay? Now, let me explain that to you. We don't speak in a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God, comma, in a mystery hidden. Does it make sense? Does it make sense now? In a mystery hidden. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2:7. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Stewards of the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 13:2. Figure of speech. What you can call an exaggeration. I understand all mysteries. 1 Corinthians 13:2. 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but unto God. For no man understands, I'll be in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Ephesians 1:9. Still out there? Ephesians 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Ephesians 3:3. Ephesians 3:9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Ephesians 3:9. Ephesians 5:32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Ephesians 5:32. Colossians 1:26. The mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Colossians 1:26. Colossians 1:27. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:26. Colossians 2:2. That their hearts that be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance and understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Colossians 4:3. Without praying also for us that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Colossians 4:2. 4:3. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. The mystery of iniquity doth already walk. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in glory, as he believed on the word, received in glory. 1 Timothy 3:16. Revelation 1:26. Now, where is the mystery? Every time you use the word mystery, it must be an information that was concealed. That's the Old Testament. Now, that thing was in the Old Testament concealed. So, the word mystery is the Old Testament, and we're talking about, no, we say it like this, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Are you still there? Are you still there? So the word mysterion is from the word muheo. M-U-E-O. Muheo means that which should be learned. That which should be learned. Now pay attention, students, this is very vital. That which should be learned. Or that which should be explained. Now, Paul used the word muheo in Philippians 4:12. Muheo. Philippians 4:12. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. I am instructed. The word instructed is the word muheo. I have learned. So, musterion is that which should be learned. So, musterion means to be learned, to be understood. So, the Old Testament was written in a way that it has to be learned. It has to be explained. That's why Paul will say to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, which is referring to the Old Testament, and is profitable for what? Explanation. So, it has to be explained. Are you there? It has to be explained. So, the Old Testament books are to be learned. They are to be explained. You have to learn what is there. You have to be instructed. You are not to act on the Old Testament without explanation. It must be explained. And Jesus is saying to you, exactly, that it is given to you that explanation. So that's why you find two words used by Paul. The first will be musterion. Okay? And the second word will be knowledge. Epignosis, gnosis, and then hohidia, and then ginosko. So he had two words he used all the time. He had the word mystery and the word knowledge. So the epistles will be the knowledge of the mysteries. Or better still, the revelation of the mysteries. So there's a learning to muhio, a learning to a musterion. Pay attention. Go back here one more time. In a muhio, pay attention. The eyes are shut, but the mouth is not. The eyes are shut, but the mouth is not. It's the eyes that see and know. So the learning will not be through the mouth. The learning will be what? Through the eyes. The communication is through the mouth. Why did I say that? Because what we call mysteries were said, but they were not understood. The prophets said those things, but they were not understood. And there's a learning to it. Quickly look at this. Who shut their eyes? Who made it difficult for them to see? It's not God. You know, we thought, was it in Soul Great Salvation? Or which one? I think it was Lord in Genesis. That there is no shadows with God. He doesn't hide information. No, he doesn't. So, who shut their eyes? Who did? That's what we're going to see in a moment. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews 8:5. Let's pick out a man like Moses. Did God shut their eyes so they will see? No, he didn't. Hebrews 5:8. This is Moses. Who served unto the examples and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God. Okay, when he was about to make tabernacle. For see, he saith, thou makest all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mouth. Three words stand out here, and I'm going to run through them. You'll be very, very alert. The first word we see is the word example. The word example, please listen. Here's the word hupodeigma. H-U-P-O-D-E-I-G-M-A. Hupodeigma. H-U-P-O-D-E-I-G-M-A. You see it in John 13:15. When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, and he said to them in John 13:15, so look, I'm doing this as an example. John 13:15. I give you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, he is not saying that you should wash people's feet. No. I know some people have perpetrated this one to preach false doctrines, but that's not what he's saying. Washing people's feet was before Jesus came. Okay? It's a culture. Let me give you a typical example of what it means. I'm coming to your house. Okay? And then, pay attention now. I came in the rain. So I have my umbrella. So as I got to your house, you took my umbrella, okay, and gave me yours, and gave me a new coat, and ensured that, you know, I was well taken care of. Maybe I was feeling, I was feeling cold and all that, and you made me warm. That is washing of feet. To receive guests. To treat people well. So, that's why he said in 1 Timothy 5:10, that this widow you want to support, as she washed the saints' feet, he calls it good works. So, Jesus is teaching that you will show good works. So, pay attention. It's not washing feet alone that is good works. It treats people properly. So, the washing feet will be what? An example of several things you should be doing. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So, that's what it means. Treat people well. To wash feet. Hypodegma. That's a very critical explanation. Chapter 4 verse 11. The same example of unbelief. The same example of unbelief. Unbelief has different shades. But there's an example of unbelief. Hebrews 9:23. Is therefore necessary that the pattern things in the heavens, examples, that's what it means, should be purified with this, and the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices. James 5:10, 2 Peter 2:6. So that's what the example means. Go back to Hebrews 8:5. Hebrews 8:5. The second word there is the word shadow. Shadow is the word skia. Skia. S-K-I-A. You'll find that. Matthew 4:16. Mark 4:32. Luke 1:79. Scare is used for darkness. Just having light besides it. It's not light. And it's not darkness. It's not total darkness. So, he's saying to you that Moses did not have light, but in total darkness. So his view was colored. Not light, not total darkness. A state of spiritual death. Skia. The third word is the word pattern. The word pattern is figure. Tupos. T-U-P-O-S. A figure. That is, look, you see that word figure? Hebrews 8, verse 4-6. For if we were on earth, he would not be a priest. Talking about Jesus. Saying that there are priests that offer according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. That means they try to replicate. They try to replicate what is original. Okay? As Moses was admonished when he was about to make tabernacle, foresee that you make all things according to the pattern should be in the mouth. But now, verse 6, let's take 6 together, Hebrews 8. But now, as he obtained a more excellent ministry, for how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promise. So, verse 5 shows you that what they did and what Moses did was a pattern of Jesus Christ. And what kind of light did he have when he was doing it? It was a shadow. Not light and not absolute darkness. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's what he had. John 20:25 is the word, you know, when you have find the word pattern. To print upon. To print upon. So Where, pay attention now, what made the prophet speak in mysteries? What made Moses act in a mystery? It was the fact that they did not have light. Their spiritual status made it impossible for them to communicate properly. So their communication, okay, had truth concealed. Hence the reason why it's called mysteries, it must be explained. You don't explain a mystery with itself. A mystery takes explanation, pardon me. You must take time to explain it. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:19. Go back to Matthew 13 one more time. Matthew 13 first. Why were they writing in mysteries? Matthew 13. And verse 11. Because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. The word given is not available. Now, why was it given to these people to know? Because Jesus was present. That's why it was given to them. It's not that there's anything special in them. Jesus was present. It is given to you to know. For whosoever has to him, pay attention, shall be given. And who has, he shall have more abundance. And who does not have, from him shall be taken away, even that which he has. That is, he who has perception will have more perception. He who doesn't have will not have any perception. Not money. He's talking about Revelation. Verse 13. Let's take verse 13 together. Therefore, everybody let's go. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. Notice that he's not talking about speaking. Understand. Seeing. Verse 14. Let's take 14 together. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand. By seeing you shall see, and you shall not perceive. This summarizes the prophet's ministry. 15. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and they should understand with their heart, and should be converted, that I should heal them. So, why was it hidden from them? Verse 15. The state of their heart made it difficult for them. So, God didn't hide it. It was hidden because of the state of their heart. Because of their spiritual status. Then verse 16. Let's take 16 together. Blessed are your eyes for the see, and your ears for the hear. Why was Jesus saying that? Because he was present. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men, including the one who prophesied Isaiah, have desired to see those things which you see, and they didn't see them. Or hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Now look at 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So, how was it given to them to know? Jesus explained it to them. It's not one spiritual experience. It is given to them to know because Jesus could explain it to them. Now, why was it difficult for the prophets to explain it? Because they themselves desire to see the things that you see, and they've not seen them. So you have two people in the same spiritual status, Isaiah and his audience. Hallelujah. The only difference is that Isaiah believed. So his communication was with shadows, dimmed light. 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. You learning something? 1 Corinthians 2:9. You there? As it is written, I have not seen, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Let's take verse 10 together. But God has revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Pay attention here. So, follow this. This is by Isaiah, Isaiah 64 verse 4. I have not seen, he has not heard, but they are revealed to us by his Spirit. In John 16, 12, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all of truth. I'm coming to that soon. Into all of the truth. Now, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 14. That it might be fulfilled in them. Now, go to Matthew 13, 16. That it might be fulfilled in them, which Isaiah said. You know, what Isaiah said was not the Spirit of Christ. Isaiah was passing judgment. Come on, I've sorted this out before, alright? The issue of utterances. Abba. Have we not sorted this out before? Matthew, look at that Matthew 13. Verse 12 and 13. Verse 14. Verse 14 was verse 14 speaking about Christ. Was verse 14 speaking about Christ? Huh? Is there faith in that scripture? Is there salvation in it? What is it? It's judgment. Come on. Are you there? Aha. I thought we sorted that out. Huh? Are we to believe all the prophets said? No. Is it that everything the prophet said was it about Christ? No. Was this one about Christ? Huh? No, it wasn't about Christ. It was about them. Now, pay attention to this. Verse 14 says that it might be fulfilled is the word anaplero. A-N-A-P-L-E is a very funny word Jesus used there. P-L-E-R-O-O. It means to make up for. That is, Isaiah judged them. And they acted just like that. Do you understand? To make up for what Isaiah said. Naplero. To make up. See the word used quickly? Galatians 6:2. Philippians 2:30. Galatians 6:2. Philippians 2:30. 1 Thessalonians 2:16. 1 Corinthians 14:16. To occupy the room of your learned. That means there's a room of your land. You now come there to sit down there. So Isaiah gave a prophecy and they now came to what? To occupy it. So Isaiah was not talking, you don't have to occupy what he said. Just like, Judas, that it might be fulfilled. He came to occupy it. Nobody destined him to be like that. He came to occupy what the prophet had said about man. Hallelujah. One day we'll talk about Judas briefly. 1 Corinthians 16:17. So they came to occupy what Isaiah said. You don't have to fulfill it. It's just like when Herod killed the children, he said they fulfilled it. It doesn't have to be fulfilled. Now let me ask you, is your own heart wax dross? Huh? Huh? Why? Because you have chosen not to fulfill it. So they could have chosen not to fulfill it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand it? Is your own art works to gross? Eh? Why? Because you've chosen not to fulfill it. Are there people today fulfilling that Matthew 13, 14? Eh? Did they have to fulfill it? Uh-huh. So the fulfillment is your own. You are the one that fulfilled what he said. We can make his prophecy go unfulfilled. We'll go to that in Proverbs 3. How we can make all their prophecies, some of their prophecies, go unfulfilled. Some have even gone unfulfilled. And they will never be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Praise God. The only one that God is at the back of is the one concerning who? Christ. Is that clear? Ah, good. Now, so, I had not seen here. So, why was Moses seeing shadows. Why? Romans 5:14. Why was Moses seeing shadows? Why was Moses in shadows? Just like David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't say that for yourself again. No. That's their spiritual status. Romans 5:14. Are you there? Let's read it together. Romans 5:14. Let's read it together. Nevertheless, there reign from Adam to Moses. So the death reigned through Moses. Huh? So you understand why Moses could only communicate in shadows? Because it is what you see that you can see. It's what you hear. You know, you see now, talking about what they heard. What they know. So did God hide the word from anybody? No. So who hid it from the people? The prophets. Why did they hide it from the people? Well, two things. They were not any different, except by faith. Then, secondly, in judgment. Did you see that tone in Isaiah's voice? That's a tone of judgment. And people came to fulfill it in days of Jesus. Praise God. Are you following me? Okay. I've gone back to that explanation again. Anaplero. It means what? To come and they put something somewhere and they now put a label. They now come there to sit there. That's anaplero. You get it? Uh-huh. They say you won't understand. And I say, hey, I won't understand. I won't believe. Hey, let me come and sit there. So you can choose not to fulfill it. Praise God. It's just like Judas. He just came to fulfill it. Do you understand? Uh-huh. It's not that he was sent from heaven and said, your name is Judas. You will go. You will call you. You'll be his apostle. Then you'll be stealing money. Then you'll be... No. God has no plan in evil. Amen. Are you there? Okay, I said Moses was in spiritual darkness, right? Was in spiritual darkness because there was no prophet that was the light. The Bible says he came to bear witness for the light. Remember that. That's John. John is the senior prefect of all the prophets. He was not the light. He came to what? Bear witness for the light. The light is a person. That was why he could explain to them. Do you understand? Huh? So if John was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light, that means all the prophets, you can't find light in them. They can only bear witness of the light. Is that very clear? Is that clear? Very good. Thank you. So 1 Corinthians 2:9, I have not seen, he has not heard. Does that include the prophet? Huh? But it is a mouth has not spoken. Okay? Now, mouth has spoken it, but mouth spoke it in what? In shadows. So how do we expose shadows? Light. And where is the light coming from? In the person of Jesus. Is that clear? Uh-huh. Very good. So let's see a few things. Look at Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Pay attention. Hoped for, not seen. So, now, did they speak? Huh? They spoke of things they had not seen, and spoke of things they were hoping for. Are you here? Now, if they will say those things and write about them, things they have not seen, they can only write it in figures of speech. They can only say it in types and shadows. Because they had not what? Seen them. Do you understand? Okay, look at chapter 10. Chapter 10. You know, that scripture is a follow-up from chapter 10. That's why I said it's good sometimes to remove those verses so that you understand. verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. He that shall come. Now, he's speaking from Habakkuk 2 verse 3 and 4. When I say, so the just shall live by his faith. Verse 4. You know, Habakkuk 2, 3 and 4 was about Jesus. To tarry and not tarry, it will come. So, the writer of Hebrews says that he's talking about he, the Christ. So, where were the things they had not seen? They are in Christ. So, all they could do was to demonstrate the person of Jesus in types and shadows. That's what they could do. And write about it. So, it says, he that will come, not it, he that will come. So, whose faith is verse 39? Sorry, verse 38. But the just shall live by faith. That scripture, he that will come, 37 and 38, is referring to Habakkuk 2, 3 and 4. Okay, let's quickly look at it. Before you say I'm fast again. Turn to Habakkuk, John. Habakkuk. But wait, let's remove this one. The presence and sight, was it clear? Eh? At least for now. Verse 3. For the vision is for an appointed time, but at the end, you know, we use this one to write about vision for ministry. God will deliver us. But at the end, it shall speak. It shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Because his soul that is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. That's why in the Hebrew, it's not it, it is him. Hallelujah. So, that is it will come, it will not tarry. Go to Hebrews 3, Hebrews 10. Can you see this? Can you see it now? Can you see the reference? Can you see the reference? Yet a little while, and he that shall come will what? Hebrews 10, I said, what? Come. I will not tarry. Who is the he? Who is the he? Who is the he? Now the just shall live by faith. And he shall, if any man shall draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. But who believe to the saving of the soul? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Old Testament. So Hebrews 11 1 defines who? Old Testament folks who were expecting Jesus. Are you there? Are you there? Okay. So the things they did not see were things concerning who? Jesus. Let me see if that's clear. Is that clear? Thank you. So, now. Okay? So, there was a way. If you don't see something, and you don't have a clarity of it, the only way you can act upon it will be by what? By faith. So, that's why it's so many things hoped for, and other things not seen. It have not happened. Okay? It had not happened. So, the mode of writings had to reflect their spiritual status. That they were writing from a dim light, but writing by faith. They were writing from a dimmed light, but they were writing by what? Faith. Now again, who hid the information from them? Was it God? No. Does God speak in types and shadows? No. Remember, in him is no darkness at all. No variableness, nor shadow of what? Turning. Amen. I said amen. Uh-huh. So, Moses building the temple. Let me ask you. Did anybody send him to build temple? Was the temple of any spiritual significance? No. No. The temple was of not a single significance. Because, you know, after Moses had finished, Isaiah now spoke, the heaven is my throne, there's my footstool. Where is the house you have built me? No, that's all. That's why it seems like some other people will not have more light. They'll say, it's not this place. It's not this place. It's not temple. It's not temple. One of them came and said, I desire no sacrifices. After how many years? Because they were writing under dimmed lights. So they are not contradiction. It was progressive revelation. Does it make sense? Good. So let's see this. Look at one example. John John 12. Watch this. Father, glorify thy name. You see how many passive things. Then there came a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by heard it, and said it thundered. See you. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Can you see how people, how spiritually deaf people receive things? Say it thundered. Grrr. Others said, an angel spoke to him. So, that's how information will be received by spiritually dead men. Put in my notes. I say they will always miss Yan. Do you know in Acts 12, they said an angel was the one who killed Herod. Nobody saw anything. No? They all assumed that if somebody can just stand like this and he will fall down, that is a spiritual attack. They are like Africans. It's attack. That thing is attack. So, did you see anything? It's attack. Nobody saw the angel of the Lord, just a gist in town. And Luke wrote it down. Do you know that if some people are going to write it, John 12, they say, when Jesus' ministry, that's how thunder was going. I don't know. You know, they also write it down. So say, an angel spoke to him. What's the angel's name? Angel Thunder. You know? So that's how they spiritually dead folks. Amen. We thank God for the Spirit of God. Amen. Just like Job. Job just assumed it was God. You can sit down and just look at it logically. It has to be God now. When I went there that morning, normally they are always sitting down in front, but they were not there. And that was the day that this man now came. God knew. Superstition. Job said, I've heard you by rumors. I've heard you by gists. Now I want to hear you firsthand. After things have been destroyed. So, the written word gives us stability of understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. So, do you know that in spite of this, Jesus still used parables? So, we have two modes of communication, pay attention, before the Holy Spirit was given. We have riddles. Riddles is to hide something. To give perplexing questions. Why did Jesus use parables? Now, pay attention. He used parables because the people's heart was spiritually daft. Now, the Old Testament folks have said this before. Psalm 78 verse 2. What cheetah? Remember the word cheetah? They used what we can call riddles. Things that had questions that had no answers in themselves. Dark sayings. Jesus did not use dark sayings. Because if Jesus used dark sayings, then we will say he functioned with shadows. Jesus used parables. Parables are analogies. They are different. It's what the psalmist called proverbs. Analogies. To liken unto. Then don't forget, when he used that, he now explained it. Are you following what I'm saying? He now explained it. Now somebody say, well, did he hide it from the crowd? No, he didn't. He will say something in a parable. Then, those that are with him will now have the explanation. Now what he did. Now, look at this. Jesus used parables. Go to Matthew 13, verse 34. He used parables again because of the state of their heart. Matthew 13, 34. All these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables, And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet again, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Notice that the prophet actually said, kept secret. Look at Isaiah, look at Psalm 78 verse 2. There's something I want you to notice. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. So, who has the dark sayings of old? The prophets. Who has the parables? Jesus. I will utter them. So, Jesus used parables to say the things that were dark sayings. Yet, in Jesus' ministry, there was still limitation. So, go to John 16. I'll say something quickly so that you. John 16, 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So, why did Jesus not say everything? Was he hiding them from? No. If he says them, would they have understood? Huh? So, what was the purpose of saying it? He said, you cannot bear them now. How be when he, the Spirit of truth, is come? Already showing you that the Spirit of truth will dwell in them. He will guide you into what? All of the truth. So that shows that Jesus spoke truth, but not all. Now, what does that imply? You don't need to know all truth to believe. You can believe with parables. You can believe with shadows. So, revelation knowledge is not for faith. Revelation knowledge is for understanding. To understand. That's why I always tell you that the knowledge of God is not a means to an end. Do you know that many of the people in the Old Testament are folks people are still trying to emulate today, their results. And they did those things in dim light. And yet the believer today is far, far later than they are. So listen carefully. Listen carefully. There's power and there's revelation. There's power and revelation in the sight of God. Amen. You know, in the sight of God now. Which is higher? Revelation is higher. It is. So, these folks didn't know so much. So, what is key to us in the new covenant is way beyond things. Is the fact that we know. Amen. Amen. He said they could not bear it yet. So we say, types and shadows, parables, the revelation. So Jesus' ministry was superior in the four gospels to the prophet, but yet it's not the best. Is that not clear? Huh? Okay. Where do we have the best? The epistles. Amen. So, it also means that you and I cannot build teaching and spiritual growth on Jesus' teachings. Why? Jesus' teachings does not contain all of the truth. Now, wait very well. All of the truth about anything. Even about himself. It doesn't contain truth about anything. Praise God. I said, praise God. Look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11. It says, what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, I am more than a prophet. More than a prophet. Watch this. Now remove the verses. Let's read together. Let's start from verse 9. Okay, let's start from verse 7. What you went out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind. Everybody know? Huh? Verse 8. Matthew 11. What went he out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothes are in the king's houses. Verse 9. What went he out for to see? Now, but I want you to read verse 9 and 10 and 11 without the verses. So let's go. What he went out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, we shall prepare thy way before thee. Who is the thee? The person talking. Right? Good. Verse 11. Now, hold on. The word more. Okay? The word more is used for eternal things. It's the word perisos. I think I'll quickly get a synonym for you here. Hebrews, similar one. Hebrews 6:17. Yep. More abundantly to show the end of promise. Yeah, Hebrews 6:17. So, this is he. Okay, go back to Matthew 11. This is he of whom it is written. Christocentric? Praise God. Are you there? Okay. Of whom it is written, prepare thy way before thee. The word prepare means to make ready. It means to construct a building. Katasquazo. K-A-T-A-S-K-E-U-A-Z-O. K-A-T-A-S-K-E-U-A-Z-O. It means to build something. You see it in Mark 1:2, used by John, for John. Luke 1:17. Hebrews 3:3-4. Mark 1:2. Luke 1:17. Before. Now the word before, watch this, before thee, in time, refers to time. So, the essence of all the prophets was to do what? To speak about Jesus. To say words that will build towards Jesus. That's what they were doing. That was why he said that the stone the builders rejected is the chief corner. That's the stone. That's the foundation. Hallelujah. It's the foundation. And it's the stone the builders rejected. That is the chief head of the corner. So he is the prophecy. He is in their prophecy. He is what is similar to all of them. So look at 11. 11? Are you in 11? Verily I say unto you, among them, now what he quoted in verse 10, okay, is Malachi 3:1. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women has not risen a greater. Hallelujah. Are you there? Are you there? Now, which them? The prophets. Okay? Has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. So, there's none that has risen like John. Not one. Greater than John. Yet, are you there? Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom, that is figure of speech. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Remember that prophecy that Jeremiah gave. Then shall no anyone say to his neighbor, know the Lord. For you shall not all know me from the least to the greatest. Meanwhile, what was Hosea saying? Let us follow to know. But in the covenant that we are in, or we have been born out of, we are born in the knowledge. Say, I'm born in the knowledge. Amen. Say, none. Say, John is not greater than any. Sorry, none is greater than John. And John is not up to the least. Look at this. Verse 12. For this of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violence taken it by force. Look at 13. Let's see 13 together. They what? Prophesied until. The word until is the word hos in the Greek. H-O-S. It was used for the genealogy until where you say Abraham, then two, then two. So he's describing the genealogy, the prophetic genealogy, the prophetic ancestry that said they all spoke until John. That is, they are all the same. Whatever I say about John can be said of all of them. They all prophesied in the same lineage. And thank God, that is not the kind of prophets we have today. Amen. We speak from Christ. We don't speak to Christ. We speak from Christ, the fulfilled word. So, he's saying all of them prophesied until John. So, let me put it like this. John becomes the full stop of all Old Testament prophets. Everything ends that way. Why? Because it is John who saw Jesus. John becomes the full stop of all Old Testament prophets. He becomes the full stop of all Old Testament prophets. Yet, the least in the kingdom is greater than John. I will say why. John, all of them, they spoke in shadows. John was the one that said, this is he. Hallelujah. Yet in spite of that, in the kingdom, that's when Jesus will rise from the dead. Okay? Everyone who is born again will see by the Spirit in Christ. In Christ. John saw about Christ. He saw him after the flesh. Of course, he was given a revelation by the Holy Ghost. You know, this is the Son of God. But that's all he knew. That takes away the sin of the whole world. But the intricate details are revealed by the Spirit. He will guide you into all of the truth. So, all the prophets of the Old Testament, don't forget this, there are people that function under a dimmed light. I don't know if you can see that clear. Is that clear now? Under a dimmed light. We cannot trust all they said, even though we know they are trustworthy people. We can only trust Christ. Amen. So we can only trust Christ. That was why the utterance of the Father was, this is my beloved Son. Hallelujah. This is Him. This is Him. Hear Him. John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was what? The light of all men. Light shines in darkness, and darkness could not comprehend. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness for the light, that he may be a witness of the light. He was not the light. No, he was not. The true light that lights every man that enters into the world. He came to the world. The world was made by Him. The world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Hallelujah. So, Jesus did not come to show the way. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. He is the way. He didn't come to teach the truth. He is the truth. He didn't come to give life. Mm-mm. When He said, I came that you may have life, He is that life. He is not a messenger. Even though He appeared like that, He is the message. He's not a life giver, He is the life. So, in Him, we have the revelation. And what did He tell us? The Spirit of truth will guide you into all of the truth. He will not speak of Himself, He will speak of Me. The epistles unlock all the mysteries of the Old Testament. So as we take the books of the prophets, we study them in the light of the New Testament. There will be things to correct. There will be things to change. Praise God. As we have been doing. Did you see that? There will be things to say, shouldn't have said this. Jonah, you should have said it this way. Isaiah, you shouldn't have said this. You should have said this one. You know, praise God. I will not be heretics if we say that, would we? Would we? We found out that Jesus corrected the prophets. There was a day some people said they wanted to call down fire like Elijah, and He rebuked them like demons. That means if Jesus was present that day, 2 Kings 1, He would have stopped Isaiah. Stop that. Right?
He would have. He would have stopped Isaiah. He would have. Look at something quickly. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. You learning something? Hebrews 4. See how I'll leave you with these thoughts till the next time. See how the prophets were. How progressive their revelation was. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again. Verse 7. That means again. You know, Moses said they went to the promised land, and that was Canaan. That's it again. He limited a certain day, saying in David, after many years they had gone to Canaan, today after so long a time, as it is said, that after they had entered Canaan, that Joshua told them, this is the promised land, you can eat the fruit, everybody is relaxing. Years later, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let's read verse 8 together. The word Jesus there is Joshua, because they are actually the same thing. Let's read verse 8 together. If Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. He's talking to Jews who saw what Joshua did as final. He said, hey, read it very well. If it were final, David would not still talk about another day. Hallelujah. So that's how to study the books of the Old Testament. They were progressive. They are not contradictory. They are just men searching, seeking to know. Hallelujah. So you must not stand in their own position. Are you too? You are seeking to know. No, we have come to know in Christ. Hallelujah. So you study them to understand their journey of knowledge. You study them to correct them. Praise God. You study them to find out in the beauty of God's holiness how they spoke about Christ. You see the darkness of their heart, the confusion in their souls. And once again, you lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. I've come to the point of knowing as I am known. I've come to the point by the Spirit of truth. There are no shadows in my understanding. There are no symbols. Amen. I have clarity of thought by the Spirit of truth. Are you blessed? Stand to your feet, give God praise. Thank you. Worship Him. Thank you.